And I twisted the arm a little bit here tonight, because this young man has been coming to Wednesday or Sunday in classes for a lot of years, not counting the years he disappeared. I won't talk about those. He slipped out of view for a while. But I've twisted his arm, so he'll come in and share his thoughts with us. And that's our David Vella.
Yeah, Millie twisting my arm. Yeah, she had a wand of feathers in her hand, and she told me, "You are going to speak on Wednesday." That's Millie's twisting of the arm.
That wasn't feather, honey.
That's right. Feathers. It was feathers, Indian feathers, that's right. Thank you so much, Millie. Something we hear often in the class lessons on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights involves the building of your house. And there's something that I want to share with you, a thought or a statement that I read recently, and actually I reference often. And it's from an architect that I really admire. He speaks from his heart, he speaks from his soul, and he speaks in terms of organic architecture. And what he says about the building of his house is that he states that the reality of a building is the space within. And so it's the basis of his design philosophy, and it's the true expression of the building and from which it flows, which is the interior space, the reality of the space. And so I also came across this other passage, some more writings, and just a coincidence, huh? Funny how these things appear when you've got something before you. And what it says is that inwardness is the eternal state of the innate being, which is surrounded by true love and which accompanies the human being everywhere and through which it is possible for him to change at any time of his life for the better. For this is necessary to come to know oneself, because only through self-awareness does this become possible. To gain access to the inner being, respectively to that true inner nature. And so, as I think about those words and the statement from Frank Lloyd Wright, I couldn't help but think about my life, my story, and really the building of my house. And really, it starts with the foundation, the foundation from which I can tell you started, and thinking back was, I'd say, the period from 5 to 15. And during those years, and I came really from a Roman Catholic upbringing. I really didn't have any choice in the matter. You know, that's what my parents really felt, that it was the best for me, the best for them. And so it was a good household. It was great. Loving parents. They really loved us a lot. It was a family of 8 kids, 2 sets of twins, and the first set of twins just so happened that my mom did not know she was having twins. And there I come. Whoa, 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 wait. 15 minutes later, she didn't know I was in there. And so here I come 15 minutes later, feet first, and I think I've been running ever since. But nonetheless, it was, like I said, it was great upbringing, loving parents. They really took care of us. But when you're in a large family of 10, you know, there's a tendency for, well, it's very difficult for a mom to be able to spread her love to everyone. And so, you know, I think everybody competed for that attention. And yet, I never really felt the need to do that. My mom and I were very close. So, between my adolescence years, between 5 and 15, is when I think my house, or rather the foundation, was poured. And that's really when I think I learned something about communion, or communicating with that inner self, that inner being that Frank Lloyd Wright speaks of, which is the reality of who you are and from which all else, and the expression, and that beautiful expression that you become. During those years, though, although I had a beautiful family, wonderful house, I felt that, well, I was running away from home daily. Why was I running away from home daily? I had a beautiful family, wonderful kids, wonderful brothers and sisters. Nonetheless, it was, for whatever reason, well, I think it had a lot to do with my dad and myself and our relationship. My parents weren't alcoholics. They actually protected me from the rest of, and our family from the rest of their family, which really there was a lot of alcoholism, drugs involved. And so they knew better. And so they knew to keep me and keep us away from that, not really that surrounding, that environment. Nonetheless, I find myself running away from home. Well, why? Why would I be running away if it's so wonderful? Well, if when you wake up every morning and greeted by a spanking or beating, I was singled out as that, I guess they call them these days, as black sheep. So I was singled out as being the one that got, well, and Millie picked up on this a few times in our class lessons, is, you know, just being dragged around, you know, beaten up. Well, the reason my dad felt that he felt shame, I think he felt some shame for me. And the reason being is, you know, he felt that he could beat the bedwetting out of me. And for the first 15 years of my life, that's who I was. That's what I had to cope with. And I think that's really what shaped me. But the running away, though, I think is really the foundation of where I'm going with this. And I think as a result of that running away, I would from sun up to sundown, you would not see me at home. And it was beautiful. I had the best time of my life, though, when I disappeared. And I found myself really spending so much time alone. And during that period of spending alone, I never, ever felt alone. Have you ever seen a child at play, 5, 6 years old child? It makes me think of my daughters, who I'd watch them over there having their little, on their table, having some tea with, well, it was a table for two. They were alone, and yet, in watching them, they were having the best time. They were laughing. They were talking to someone, communicating. And that's what it was like for me, escaping the beatings and the verbal abuses and the shame that I felt from my dad, because I think he really felt that, well, I was not what he could be proud of. And so, but nonetheless, during those periods of communion, communicating, and alone times, I would every day just leave the house thinking to myself, wow, okay, what am I going to discover today? What wonderful, let's go explore today. And so every day I'd get up and say, okay, well, let's go see what I will find today. Let's do some soul searching. Let's go play. It was good, and it extended. And unlike a child who from probably about, I'd say about 6, 7 years old, they begin to lose that feeling, that wonderful time where they could just really spend some time within themselves. But I actually, as a result of how I was raised and really what characterized who I am and what I became, really, I think it was those years that dictated. And as I look and as I spend these days or these nights in class, that's really when I recognize that during that time, I was actually doing already communicating or in communion with who I don't know. Could have been my God self, could have been my joy guide, I don't know. Nonetheless, the foundation was poured, and then a pivotal period in my life occurred around the age of 15. And that's really, and that's when the bedwetting stopped. And it was also when our family was relocated to another town. And it's very traumatizing for a teenager to move into another town, whole another high school, and especially one who's really not been, well, wasn't really ever sure of himself and really had a very difficult time having friends, making friends. I'd say the first 15 years of my life, I had two friends and who are still my best buddies even to this day. And so running away daily, I think, kind of led to developing somewhat of a rebellious nature, yet a carefree attitude. And this, but come 15, when I came, at 15, we moved to Yuma, Arizona. And so leading up to 15, I was developing relationships, finally developing friends. But, and then we make this move. And then I began to retreat again into myself. I don't have those friends anymore. I'm by myself. And so I find myself really just looking for things to do. I didn't have the luxury of just getting on my bike and just leaving and running away all day. I had school that I had to go to. I had some commitments. I was in baseball. So I found myself really falling into and beginning to explore, you know, alcohol, drugs. But also, it was also a period when I began to develop and really pay attention to those occurrences that I was getting, and namely in my dreams. And that's what led to my beginning to immerse myself into and explore that paranormal side, or that other side, or what is going on with these dreams that I'm having, because these dreams were becoming prophetic. It's like, you know, and although they were adolescent in nature, you know, I'd have a girlfriend and I'd know that she'd be sleeping with somebody else because I dreamt about it. And sure enough, I found out, well, and so that's what led me to start thinking about, well, what's going on? What is it with this? What's going on? And during those times when, at school, I didn't have any friends, any close friends, and so I found myself in the library often, questioning, seeking. It was also when I discovered that, you know, the dreams and started exploring that. Just a coincidence, though, in a high school where would you think that you would ever find a book about this? But it was also when I discovered, and I was going through all the books and just looking for something to read, and then this book pops up. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. By the way, I checked this out in 1976 and haven't returned it. Yeah. Oh, wow. And the notifications have stopped. Finally got serious about school and decided, okay, well, I need to graduate. And so I actually got serious and got straight A's. But during that period in high school, I also, you know, I immersed myself, was doing a lot of explorations in drugs and alcohol. Back then, they weren't quite as designery or as heavy as they are now. And then comes the 15 to 30 years of my life I graduated from high school in 19 when I was 17. 2 weeks later, I was gone. Ran away from home, not literally, but graduated and off to college I went. And I was so happy to leave house, leave the home, and leave high school. Although it was wonderful, I enjoyed myself, I enjoyed that period, I didn't want anything to do with high school anymore. And so, but at college, though, is when I began to really go back to that carefree attitude. I was free from home. And it was also when I started learning to develop relationships and allow myself to get close or others to get close to me. That enclosure that I surrounded myself with was beginning to at least reveal itself or allow others in. It was also a period when, after graduating from college, I began to also immerse myself more and more into the spiritual aspects of life and explore more and more. It was also a time when I met Millie. It was probably, I think I was about 25, 26 years old. A very good friend of mine, Kent Lawless, said, "Oh, I think you need to come with me to church." And I tell you, that was a spiritual experience for me. That is when I met Millie, which was truly a spiritual experience for me. It was joy at first sight, and it reminded me of that period back when I was spent so much time alone, communing with myself, and yet never felt alone, but was always happy, joyful. And then I returned to the dark side. I ran away again from home, from Millie's home. For 20 years I was gone, out once again exploring, seeking, immersing myself, and I also found myself needing to delve and understand why it is that, or what is it about drugs and alcohol that, and I thought that I could get that spiritual experience that I once had when I was young. And yet, I also felt that, and I could see that it was really getting a hold of me. It wasn't like it was previously, where it was much more recreational, casual, but I found myself actually beginning to depend on it, just to be able to become social, to make friends, to fit in. There was a period there where I'd say this was the years of invincibility for me, where I felt that I could be racing down the highway at 95 miles per hour after consuming massive amounts of alcohol, snorting, smoking. And of course, I had friends in my car vehicle with me, and so I didn't think anything of it. It really was not something that I feared. Again, it was that period of invincibility that I just felt that I had to go through. And I chose to make that. I made those decisions. I chose, consciously chose, and it's because I wanted to understand what it was all about. And I think now that I look back, I realize that those choices that I made characterize who I am today. And as a result of that, I've certainly learned a lot about who I am, about people in general, and also understand how those things can really grab a hold of somebody and just really bring them down. It was a period of darkness for me. But nonetheless, you know, throughout those years, I never lost a job. I always worked. I was always sane or conscious enough to put in a good day's work. I certainly always had wonderful people surrounding me, telling me what a great job I did. And so I didn't call in sick. So it didn't really hold me back in that sense. However, it was, well, how can I put it? It allowed me to go back into myself and understand, and I think as a result of that foundation that I poured back in my early years, and knowing what that feeling of joy is like, even through that period of darkness, I always knew that, you know, I could always go back to that. And so it didn't really hold, or I was able to really get out of that whole situation. I didn't need the assistance necessarily. But I finally made the decision that, you know, this isn't for me. I don't need this anymore. It's not doing what I thought I would get these spiritual experiences, but that just wasn't happening anymore. And so I found myself through those years meeting new friends, and I gave up some of the that stimulation, I guess, those material offerings that people tend to fall prey to. Met my wife, met a beautiful wife, introduced her to Millie, and Millie married us, by the way. And so I started really getting serious about having a beautiful relationship, and then eventually we had children. I've got children, two beautiful daughters of my own, Megan and Mia. And then I fell back into that darkness briefly. I found myself just not really wanting to be at the office anymore. It just wasn't where I needed to be. It just wasn't enough. There's got to be more to this. This isn't living. Sitting in front of a computer all day, confined in this little cubicle, it just drove me nuts. And I think it had a lot to do with that upbringing, the character, what I characterize as just having that carefree need to be able to just go out. And I found myself really wanting to begin to interact with people and stop being that quiet, that person who pretty much held everything inside and didn't share it with anyone, not even my wife. And then I had this, well, I should say I began to drink a little bit more as a result of that period working and also consuming not only alcohol, but consuming cocaine, meth, and realizing that, I don't need this anymore. And yet I couldn't pull myself away from that. But daily I thought to myself, you know what, I got to get out of this situation. I think that's really what brought me back down to that darkness. I got to get out of this situation that I'm in. And for 2 years, daily, I thought to myself, what can I do next? What can I do now? All the while I was working on this 10-story high-rise in Phoenix, and for 2 years, weekly, for 2 days, I'd spend in Phoenix, Arizona, overseeing the construction of a 10-story high-rise. Yet here I am, still consuming. But I always knew my limits, and I certainly didn't let it affect me. I think it may have to a certain degree, in negative ways. But nonetheless, I still worked. I was there in Phoenix for 2 years, flying, spending the night on Tuesday nights and coming back on Wednesdays and not really seeing my daughters, my family, my wife over that 2 years very much, because I also spent a lot of time at the office, and I think I was escaping, running away from home. I got to the point where, you know what, I don't need this anymore. This construction project is winding down. And throughout those years, though, throughout the 20 years that I disappeared from this home, there was always that side of me that knew, you know what, I'm going to go back eventually. I don't know when. And then in October of 2010, I think it was, I finally made the decision that it's time to return home to Millie's home. And I had this, just a coincidence, as I was boarding the plane, returning home to San Diego. I maneuver my way into the plane, knowing that I'm going to head for that the first part of the seats. And so I maneuver my way into the sixth, into row six. And as I'm doing that, out of the corner of my eye, I see this profile, this image, or this individual. And I turn, and it looked just like Millie. It was Diane Landis. Just a coincidence? Confirmation for me, I'd say. And so through all that, though, and with Millie telling me that I need to go up and speak my thoughts and share my thoughts, I look back and I couldn't help but think to myself that, you know, what I'd learned and what I've through those years of growing up was really, it was necessary for me to be able to get to the point where I can feel comfortable with people, interacting with people, speaking my thoughts, sharing my thoughts, and knowing that, hey, I've got something to offer. I don't feel like I need to take a back seat and just listen. And so I put myself out there, returned home to Millie. There's something else here I want to share with you. The continuation of this writing that I just coincidentally happened to find. If a person wants to be a true human being and experience and come to know what he is consciously and who and what he really is, then it is inevitable that he is able to acquire a comprehensive knowledge to understand himself and with it also his inner being. The inwardness means not only the true inner being, but also the looking inside oneself and thus internalization and the depth of the inner life. But this is reality in every human being, even if it is not consciously perceived by many, or even if it is only believed in. And so that made me think to myself that, well, all those years that I spent alone really were valuable, and though they may come off as being negative, the beatings that I was getting, the punishments, the verbal abuse as a result of, you know, the shame my dad felt for me. And by the way, I don't hate my dad. It means nothing to me that what he thought he was doing the best thing. It was his issue, his life lesson, and so I don't feel bad about that. I'm over it. And so I'm happy to be back home here in this spiritual frat house that was with the rest of my family, with Millie, Mama Millie, and I'm happy that she has asked me to come up here and finally divulge a lot of really what I've felt and held inside. And I think that really it's going to only reinforce and develop that inner self. And so I want to leave you with one other thing, and that is that the architect that I mentioned, Frank Lloyd Wright, in his architecture and the beauty of his architecture really had to do with the fact that it flowed from the inside out and was really an expression of a theme, or rather, you'll see in all his structures and his design, there's always a common theme, some sort of a geometrical theme. And he always likened it to, and his inspiration was always nature or God, as what he would call. And so with that, his buildings, his architecture flowed from the inside out. And so it's that innermost self. It's getting to know that innermost self, which I had the luxury of really having to get to know in my early years, not really recognizing until I came here and started taking Millie's classes that I began to recognize that that period really was joyful for me. And it was really a valuable lesson for me to be able to go through that in order for me to now get up here and share those thoughts and hope that I could leave you with something valuable, but also be able to, well, channel those wonderful beings, those angels. And I think, and with that, I'll leave you with one last writing, and that's, only the human being who is not aware of his as such and not aware of his real inner and outer value doesn't ask who, how, and what he is, how he lived in the past, right or wrong, how he lives in the present, and how he will live in the future. Only the human being who can recognize himself through an internalization, through an inwardness, looking inside oneself and knowing oneself, who has towards himself an honest compassion and kindness and holds steadfast to all the values represented by the natural creational laws and commandments which determine an equitable way of life and which really leads to an infinite love, peace, freedom, and harmony. Thank you.